little fewer than others. And Jesus says to us in that moment, he says to the people around him at that time, he says, you can't add another minute to your life by worrying, so just trust God. Just seek first his kingdom, above all else, and his righteousness. Remember, that's a key word for us here. Seek God's ways, because God's in control. God has this whole world figured out. Just trust him. He loves the sparrows. He takes care of them. He provides for them. He loves you even more. Even more than the birds that live and sing a song of joy. Let's keep going here. Now we're going to start to begin to look at the problem, because I've already alluded to it as we're going, and it's significant. We started in Genesis chapter 1, and you know, it takes only 2-3 chapters before all of a sudden things start to unravel. We read Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and we see that everything God made is beautiful and good. God declares it as such. He sees it as such. He delights in it. He's present to it. And then he gives instructions to the first people, Adam and Eve. And he says to them, listen, I've made the world to work in a certain way. And there's just one thing I need you to do. Don't touch those trees over there. Stay away from them and we're all good. In a sense, what he's saying, this is what it means to live rightly. This is what it means to live with righteousness. Here's the right way to live. Don't touch those two trees. And of course, the very first thing they do is go right for them. And Adam and Eve, tempted by the evil one, twist it all and damage it all and break the world the very first time that God gives them the keys. You know, the very first time I ever got to drive my dad's car was to youth group one night. I'd just gotten my license, and he was finally glad that he didn't have to do the driving. So he said, yeah, you can drive your sister, and the two of you can go to youth group. And that very first time, pulling out of the parking lot, I rubbed right up against the car beside us and left a long strip of my bumper on a very beautiful white car. That's what Adam and Eve do. The very first moment that they have freedom, the very first opportunity they have to demonstrate some stewardship over what God has given them, they destroy it. And in their case, it doesn't simply damage one thing, it damages everything. And this is what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And you might say to yourself, well, that's not fair. I didn't damage the car. I didn't eat the apple. I'm not the one who caused the problem. Why do I have to suffer for it? But hold on. Back the truck up for a moment. We could complain that Adam and Eve messed it up for everybody. Sure. But let's just take a pause for a moment. Have you ever done anything wrong in your life? All of us have sinned. Doesn't matter how we got to this point anymore. It matters that that's the state of the world we live in. There is sin and our lives are broken. There is death because of it. And even if you don't like the idea that you have done something wrong, that you've ever hurt somebody else, you know that somebody has hurt you. You know the sting and pain of sin and death. You know what it means to experience sorrow because of sin. And that's the problem of the world today. That's the thing that many times even casts doubt on God's goodness in our lives. We begin to wonder, does he really love us? Does he care? Is he involved? Is he even there at all? But we'll hear a very different story as we keep going. Next slide. Continuing in Romans 5. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, the opportunity to live in the right way. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. See, what the Bible teaches us is not only did God create the world, And man destroyed it and created a problem that has brought death to us all. But it says that God entered into his creation once again in Jesus Christ. And that those who choose to live in him, to live with him, have victory over that sin, that death, that pain that we now see around us. That is good news. And if you haven't already gotten in on that, you can today. Jesus Christ brings triumph over sin and death. And he teaches us the right way, the righteous way to live. Let's keep going. Now we're in Romans 8. This is where we were. This is that song we were singing a moment ago. And I read these verses for us, Romans 8, 20 to 21. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. Now, it's not so much that God just didn't like the world, so he cursed it. It's that he pronounced to Adam and Eve, what you've done has consequences that have cursed the whole world. You have brought this destruction. It's not that God just decided, well, I'm going to mess you all up now. No, he said, these are the consequences of your actions. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. See, creation itself is longing for the day that God makes it right again. And so not only did God create the world that's good, and human beings have made choices that have destroyed it and brought sin and death, God has entered into it and chosen to bring healing through Jesus Christ, and one day, will make it new all over again. Now, sometimes in the way that churches have talked, we've talked as if what Jesus gives us is a golden ticket into heaven. That we just have to endure this world now, and someday we'll be with him, and we're going to leave all this world behind and forget about it. We're just going to trash it and live in the new heaven with God. That's not the teaching of the Bible. That's not the teaching of the Bible. And in case you think I'm heretical, we're just going to look at what the Bible says. In case you think I'm teaching you wrong, let's look at what the Bible says. Here we go. So 1 Corinthians 5:22. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. So this is the beginning. This is the opening of that door into the new creation. So you can choose. You may not have chosen to be in Adam's family now, but now you have a choice. Now you have a choice to leave Adam's family and join the family of Christ. Instead of being burdened by the sin and death and decay that Adam has brought upon us, instead you can choose to live in the life and triumph over sin and death by Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing to get in on. Let's keep going. Colossians 1:19, 22. You see, what happens is that Jesus embodies God's intention for all of creation. Let me say that again. Jesus embodies God's intention, his plan, his purpose for all of creation. Jesus is fully God, fully man, altogether in one person. God's intention is for God and humanity to live together in perfect unity and love. Let's read this verse, Colossians 1:19 to 22. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. This is the work I was describing, where Jesus makes it possible for God and humanity, this broken creation, to come back together. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Now some of you are saying to yourselves, I don't have evil thoughts and actions. I maybe have done some bad things, but basically I'm a good person. Okay, but what you don't understand is that one strip of rubber along the white car is all it takes to keep it from being perfect. And in your life, you may not have done evil, quote unquote, as we might like to call it here on earth, but you've done wrong. And even one wrong act separates us from God. But we have the ability to wipe that clean and be white and whole again. And that's what Christ does. Oh, let's stay on that for a moment because it's beautiful. See, this includes you who are once far away from God. Do you feel like you're far away from God? Have you ever felt that way? You may not feel like you have acted against God. You've been an enemy, but maybe you feel like he has been your enemy. Maybe, like Job, you've had a moment where you questioned what God was up to. Maybe you've gone a step further than Job, and you've doubted God's goodness. Maybe you've thought he's out to get you. Have you ever had a moment like that? I heard a, You don't want to raise your hand, that's okay. But we all have these moments where we wonder, what is God up to? What is he doing? And what it says here is, even when you were his enemies, he acted to bring about life, to reconcile you to himself. Even when you were far away, he reached out to you in Jesus Christ. So there's this beautiful thing. So God in Christ embodies the intention he has for all of his creation, is that God and humanity and all of creation are brought together. Okay, now we'll go forward. Now, he's going to make a new creation. He's going to remake everything that's broken. He's going to fix it all. We're going to start to hear this. This might be a familiar verse for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Now, listen to that. The new creation has come. Have you ever thought about how strange those words are? What new creation? The new creation. It's not just that you're a new person. It's that there is a new creation, and you begin to live the future now. You begin to live in such a way that God's design and intention is fully on display for the world to see. You are a witness, a sign, a representation of what God is planning to do, because you're like Jesus now. Like Jesus, you bring together God's plan for the world, that you, in your relationship with God, together are a unity of love. Whenever we are in Christ, we are that new creation, a foretaste of it, a sign of it, an example of it long before it arrives. You can begin to live the future now. What am I talking about? Let's go. Let's hit this now. Oh, one more thing before we get there. No, this is it. This is it. But I forgot this was there. 1 John 4:17. We will not be afraid on the day of judgment. So there's going to be an end. You've heard of this before, that God's going to judge people, right? But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. See, if we're in Christ, we're part of that new creation that's still to come. And that means at the end of our lives, at the end of time, we'll be able to stand before him with confidence because we're trying to live like Jesus. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. Perfect love casts out that fear. Now, here it is. I think this is the last one. I think this is Revelation now. Is that what we got next? All right, here it is. This is the part you've been waiting for. This is the part that makes me sound like I'm a heretic until you read that it's actually what the Bible says. I had a teacher in seminary who used to say, "When I die, I'm not going to heaven." And of course, that gets all these young pastors' ears opened up. And he says, "Heaven is coming here to earth." That might not sound at all like what you were taught, but that's what the Bible teaches. See, heaven is like a shorthand for saying God's presence. Heaven is a way, it's not a physical space so much as it is wherever God is. And so now God is alive and amongst us, but not in the fullest sense. And what God's intention is to bring his presence of heaven fully on display here on earth. And the way he does that is by making everything new and starting that relationship off all over again. He's going to renew everything. Here's what it says. You don't believe me? You've never heard this before? Well, here we are. This is the very end of the Bible now. We started at the very beginning. Now let's go to the very end. This is John recording for us a revelation, a vision that he saw. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. I heard a loud shout from the throne. This is the voice of Jesus saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. You can begin to live that future today. You may look at your life and say, there's a lot of brokenness here. You may look at the lives of the people around you and you say, there's a lot of garbage. There's a lot of mess. There's a lot of death and decay. And you might not see it as death, but death comes in many forms. Death comes in the form of broken relationships. Death comes in the form of sickness. Death comes in the form of conflict and strife and struggle. Death comes in the form of injustice. Death comes in the form of pain. Many years ago, I hate to say that because it makes me feel older. I'm starting to get close to 40. I know for some of you that's long in the rearview mirror, but that's a number that haunts people and it haunts me. And a number of years ago, there was an album that came out by a band named Coldplay. It was a very popular album. The album was called Viva La Vida. But it has a longer title than that. Most people don't know the longer title. It was Viva La Vida, which means like live life, you know. But it says, Viva La Vida, death and all of its friends. Death has many friends, many things that we recognize as pain and sorrow and difficulty in this world. That's sin. That's the sting of sin. And it always results in death. Whether or not we physically die or not, it's death on full display. And what God is intending to do in Jesus Christ is to diminish and destroy all of that negative power, making it possible for us to be part of a new life in a new world. You can get in on that today. You can get in on that life today. And that's what God is up to in his work. He's creating the world to be a beautiful place. And then when it all goes wrong, he brings about its restoration. And one day, in the future, he will make it all new again. And you can decide to be part of that new life, part of that new world. You can live as if that is the case now. And in so doing, you bring life to other people. You honor God by your righteousness, by living in the right way, in the way that's fitting his design for the world. And so if we believe that God is the one who created with a plan and a purpose, then we will live in a way that honors that. And if we live in that way, then we live in a way that will last forever. And that's the opportunity that we have to be part of today. Let me pray, and then we'll close with a song. Let's pray. God, it can be difficult to take all of this in and to understand, especially if some of the ideas are new. But teach us, by the same Spirit that inspired your word of Scripture, teach us by that same Spirit to understand, to receive and to embrace what it is you're telling us so that we can embody your purposes and intentions for us, so that we can live this life the way you plan for it, that we can be right with you. Teach us to live in that way. Show us your path by your word. Empower us by your Spirit who raised Christ from the dead to live that same new life, that same resurrected life today. Help us to live the future of the new creation in how we live today and how we relate to the people around us. Help us to bring life and restoration, your work, into the lives of those around us. May we as a church be a city on a hill, a beacon that shines brightly your good works, declaring your goodness and inviting others to join in the life and the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've shown us, what you teach us. Lead us on further still, closer to your heart, into your presence, into your embrace. We thank you for all of this. Amen.